and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If we will open to Daniel, the fourth chapter. Daniel, the fourth chapter. Have you ever had a dream that you just could not get out of your mind? I remember when I was 9 or 10 years old how my bedroom window faced a road that come around, the curb come around, so the headlights would always shine in my room as cars came down the road. And so as a car came down the road at night, I'd watch the headlights go all the way around my room. Well, one night I dreamed that a man was on our tractor and he was coming down the road, but the road came right to the window. And right when he was about to drive through the window and run over me, I woke up. But it scared me to death. I wouldn't sleep in that room for the next few nights. I couldn't get that dream out of my mind. And even to this day, I can see the man, I can see the tractor, I can see everything just as if it was yesterday. It's amazing how dreams can affect us. It's amazing how when we do dream, sometimes it seems so real. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had a dream that he just could not understand. He dreamt that there was a tree and it was one of the largest trees on the earth. As a matter of fact, it was in the center of the earth. And in his dream, this tree continued to grow and there was fruit for everyone and there all the fowls of the air could rest on this tree. All the beasts of the field could find shade under this tree. And one day someone came in because a voice from above said, "Hew the tree down." And they chopped the tree down and the beast fled and the fowl of the air, they left that tree. And he called together his magicians. He called together all the wise men of Babylon. He called everyone together that he could find, that he thought could help him interpret this dream. And no one could. Except finally, there was Daniel. And in the fourth chapter, we see that he interpreted this dream. And you see there in verse 20, he says, "The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose heights reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon the branches of the fowls of the heavens had their habitation." Now notice, he's speaking of that tree. In verse 22, he says, "It is thou, O king, that thou art grown and become strong." Notice in verse 23, "And whereas the king saw a watcher," or a holy one, and that's the one that cried out to hew down the tree. And notice in verse 24, he says, "And that is the Most High," speaking of God. So what Daniel is saying is, King Nebuchadnezzar, you've grown so strong and so powerful, and you're taking all the credit for it. Your pride has puffed you up so that you will be cast down. And he says, notice verse 25, and I want especially the children to realize this is true. You watch your fiction movies and you think they're so exciting and that they're hard to believe. This is truth. This really happened. Verse 25, it says, "That they shall drive thee from all men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 times, or we would say today, 7 years shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will." Daniel says, "King Nebuchadnezzar, it's all going to be taken away from you. And you're going to be turned out like an ox is to the field. And your heart is going to be changed so that you can live as a beast. And you're going to graze. And you're going to have the dews from heaven to fall upon you just like the cattle do. 7 years you'll stay like that if you do not humble yourselves." But then, the verse I want us to look at today, he closes his statement to King Nebuchadnezzar with one powerful verse that is simply words of encouragement. This he has spoken so far is just the interpretation of the dream. But notice in verse 27 what he says before he leaves. "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may lengthen be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Let my counsel be accepted unto thee. Why? Why should King Nebuchadnezzar listen to Daniel? Why should he heed his words? He's the most powerful king. He has a grand, spectacular nation. One that all of the earth looks to that nation, just as everyone looked to the tree in his dream. Why should he heed the words? First of all, I suggest to you this morning that he should heed the words of Daniel, because Daniel feared God more than he feared man. What would you have said to that great king if he would have told you that dream and you would have been able to interpret it? Would you have enough faith in God to speak the truth? Would you be able to say to that king, your pride has puffed you up? You think you're so big that Almighty God is going to hew you down? Truly, it took a man that loved God, and it took a man that wanted to please God more than he wanted to please man. Because most men would have tried to please the king and would have tried to tell him that the interpretation of that dream was nothing to worry about. Or it just meant that someday he would grow to be even more powerful. Oh, we could go on and on the lies that he could have told him. But he should listen to his words, number one, because he fears God more than man. Before we move on, let's ask ourselves this morning, should anyone listen to your words? Do you fear God more than you fear man? Would you rather please God than to please your neighbors or to please yourself or to please your family? Who do you please first? I suggest to you this morning, if you're in the business of pleasing others or yourself before you please the Almighty God in heaven, we probably should not listen to your advice. We should only listen to the advice of those that fearful of the Lord. But also, as we look in the sixth chapter of Daniel, we see two more reasons that are very powerful reasons to listen to Daniel. In the sixth chapter in verse 3, it says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the prince because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Brethren, that's beautiful. A man that feared God and other men looked upon him and said, he has an excellent spirit about him. I prefer to go to Daniel with my problems that I have because he has such a good spirit about him. When there's problems in the land, whether it be legal or whatever, I prefer to go to Daniel because he has an excellent spirit about him. Brethren, this morning, how do people view you? Do people say, well, I wish I could go and talk to them, but they're always so negative. Or they never want to talk to anyone else. They just do not have time for anyone else. How do people view you? You see, if you're a godly person, but yet you're not willing to invest your time in others, what kind of spirit does that give you? The king should listen to Daniel because he has an excellent spirit about him. Notice also, verse 4. Then the presidents and the princesses thought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. He was faithful. The best reason in the world to listen to Daniel was because he was a child of God. He was faithful to God. Others tried to seek out reason to find fault with him, and they could not find fault with him. This morning, am I faithful? You see, the fact is, if I'm not a man of God, if I'm not faithful, if I do not have an excellent spirit about me, I cannot help others. Daniel was striving very much so to help King Nebuchadnezzar. But he was in a position to help because he had his life right. But now let's notice, what is he going to say to a king to turn around his life? It may sound very simple to some of us, But yet, maybe after we look into it a little deeper, we'll see that really it was some very powerful words he said. First he said, break off thy sins. Where's the profound statement? Break off thy sins. Daniel, you mean to tell me that I am in jeopardy of losing my entire kingdom, and you want to tell me how to save my kingdom, and you say, break off my sins? What if I held out a large cookie today and I said, you break off a piece? Would that mean you take the entire cookie from me? No. What if I were to say, do you go out and break off a limb off of a tree? Would that mean that you go and you try to uproot the entire tree? No. Break off thy sins. What does that tell us about sins? Sins are not the whole of man. Sin is an additive. Sin is an impure addition to man's soul. And brethren, there's men all across the nation this day, and there may even be souls in this room this day that think that their life would not be if they took a certain sin out of their life. I beg and plead with you this morning to realize that with your sin, you're not even yourself. You're the soul that God has given you with the influence of Satan. You're not even yourself. You're not even your soul. And he says to King Nebuchadnezzar, break off the sin. Well, Daniel, what would be left if I broke off my sin? It would be the pure soul that God gave you. Talk to an alcoholic, and most of the time they cannot imagine their life without the alcohol. Talk to the drug abusers. And then we could go into even sins that maybe we haven't even thought to be as serious. There's those that cannot even go throughout a day without lying. There's those that cannot go throughout a day without being so critical or without gossiping. There's so many sins that we find ourselves in that we can't imagine our life without them. I beg you this morning to realize your life would be better. Your life would be complete. Your life would be pure and whole if you would just take the courage to break off those sins. Do away with them. Don't think that those are the things that make you the way you should be. In reality, those are the things that make your life much more difficult and much harder to live. Also, this same line of thinking is presented to us in the New Testament. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter in verse 1, it says, lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset us. Now, we can understand that. You don't go and prepare to run a 100-yard dash and say, now I'm going to strap a 5-pound weight on my back. You say, now it's only 5 pounds. That's not bad. But you don't do it. Why? Because that 5 pounds will surely slow you down just a little. You lay aside the weight. Well, they do not even run in the high-top tennis shoes. Why? They weigh just a little bit too much. They don't even run in sweatpants. Why? They weigh just a little bit too much. What's the point? When you're running a race, you lay aside every weight that you can. This morning, there may be sin in your life. Why would you treat your spiritual life any different than a race? Lay aside the sin. Break it off. Leave yourself whole and pure in the sight of God. I think that is what Daniel was trying to say to King Nebuchadnezzar. But the beauty and the profound statement is in the way to do this. You see, we oftentimes spend so much time talking about the exact sin and how to overcome that exact sin, when really the Word of God does not do that. The Word of God is very short, simple, and quick on how to tell us to stop sinning. One example is Daniel's. How? Break it off. The Hebrew writer, how? Lay it aside. You see, there's really no complicated way to do without sin. It's simply stop sinning. But Daniel does help us where he says, break off the sin, notice, by righteousness. This morning, let us realize that all active wrong should be stopped, and in its place should be put an active righteousness. Going out and doing good with our life. If we try to concentrate upon a sin and say, I'm going to stop this particular sin, and that's the only concentration we give in our life is to stop that sin, you know what we're probably going to do? We're going to stop that sin, but at the same time, we're going to fill our life with another type of sin. Anytime we work on stopping sin, we should at the same time work on doing righteousness. We should think about the abilities and the talents that God has given us and strive to develop those. We should think about our neighbors and our friends that need encouragement and strive to help them. We should think about studying the Bible and praying more frequently and strive to help ourselves. The point is, if I do without the righteousness, I'm going to find myself involved in the same or at least other sins. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter that we just looked at, the first verse, right after it told us to lay aside the weight that does so easily beset us, it also told us, now listen to the positive, run with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brethren, those are the positive things. The Hebrew writer did not dwell upon the sin. He said, lay it aside and then run with patience. Don't give up. Look at Jesus. Keep our eyes on Him. And let Him be what our faith is built around. How powerful that statement is. So many of us, if we're not careful, we build our faith around so many other things. Our faith should be built around Jesus Christ. But that's not all of the advice that Daniel gave King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, break off thy sins by righteousness. But then he said also, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And thine iniquities. Break off thine iniquities. Now usually we use the words iniquities and sins interchangeably. I guess really iniquities is evil acts. Sin does not always have to be an action. The lack of action can be sin as well. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. But here he says, to stop those evil actions. Now notice this, something maybe, perhaps, we have never heard before. You stop sin by giving mercy to the poor. How? How can that be? If you and I this day said we have sin in our life and we need to work on this sin, and someone came up to you and said, I know how to conquer that sin, and you'd be relieved. How? Tell me how to conquer that sin. Go out to someone you know that's poor and help them. I'm sure we'd be scratching our head. What do you mean? I have a sin in my life and you're telling me to go out and help someone that's poor? King Nebuchadnezzar surely struggled, as we all do, with the fact of being selfish. He had built, or at least he thought he had built, a huge kingdom by his power and his might. And apparently his problem was that in all of his riches, he overlooked those that were poor. And so Daniel says to him, do away with your sins by helping the poor. This day, there's not one adult in this room that would not recognize in the snap of a finger if two children were playing together and one was being selfish. This past week, as many of you know, we kept a little 2.5-year-old boy, and that's the age where they struggle with sharing or being selfish. And there were a couple of times when he really wanted to be selfish. We would talk to him, and then he would share. But it doesn't take anyone smart at all to see a child that is selfish and to recognize it. Now keep that in mind. Imagine that in your mind. How do you think God feels when He looks down upon us adults? We have our nice homes. We have plenty of clothing. We have plenty of food. And if someone walks by, we put our arms around it. Make sure nobody touches my things. How do you think God must feel? We snap our fingers and we tell the child to stop. Don't you know that God in heaven must be crying daily? Crying out, stop. Share. Love one another. But we struggle with it. Just as the little children struggle with it, we struggle with it. And I think that that one thing alone produces many sins in our lives that we'd not even realize. I encourage everyone in here this day, give yourself about a month, at least by Thanksgiving. Do something for someone that is poor. Take them a pie. Take them some clothes. Do something for someone. Now why? Why? What is sin? Sin is giving in to self. Sin is saying to God, God, at this particular moment, I'd rather please self than to please You. And what does Daniel say to King Nebuchadnezzar? Share with the poor to do away with sin. Do you see the hidden principle there? The hidden principle is if you'll begin practicing sharing, before long it will be your life, and you'll realize that really on this life we're not here to live for self. We're here to serve God and to serve others. This day, perhaps one of the best ways for us to overcome any sin in our life is to begin by helping the poor. The more we concentrate upon others, the more we will do away with self. The more we concentrate upon the goodness of God, the more we'll do away with self. He gave two very powerful statements to a man who was about to lose more than any of us today will probably ever have. He said, break away from sin. How, Daniel? By righteousness. Break away from iniquities. How, Daniel? By helping the poor. Stop thinking about yourselves. What does Proverbs say? As a man thinketh, so is he. No wonder we're selfish. Who do we think about first, usually? Ourselves, so are we. We're selfish. Let us this day learn to think about others, to think about God, and that will solve a multitude of sins in our lives. But in closing, as Paul Harvey would say, let's hear the rest of the story. This story does not have a happily ever after ending at this point. When we read on in verse 28 and following, we see that it was only 12 months later, King Nebuchadnezzar walked out on a high point of his kingdom, probably upon the wall of a castle, and he looked over and he said, oh, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And when he said those words, a voice came out of heaven and it said, the kingdom is departed from thee. And brethren, listen to what happened when the kingdom left him. In verse 33, he was driven from the men and he did eat grass as an oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like the birds of claws. And at the end of 7 years, he looked up and he admitted that the Almighty God was truly Almighty. Listen what he says in 37 after those 7 years. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, notice, it's no longer, now I, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgments, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Brethren, this day, believe with all of your heart, there's a day coming when your knee will bow and say that he's the Almighty God. Why not prepare for that moment? There's going to be so many in this nation that bow, and they're going to be so saddened because they did not bow earlier in respect to God. Today, We learned a lot from Daniel because he was worth hearing. Is your life in a condition that you're worth hearing? We learned a lot from Daniel's words because he says, break off sin. That's not our true being. This morning, walk out of here being your true being that God wants you to be. Break off those sins by beginning to do righteous. Break off those iniquities by thinking of others and sharing. Today, if you've never named the name of Christ, if you've never been baptized to wash sins away, if you've never confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you've never repented or turned away from your sins, today, stop sinning by doing righteousness. Maybe you've done that, but yet you've fallen back into the position of thinking more of self. It's easy for us to do. It's really natural for us to do. But God says it cannot be accepted. We must live and we must give ourselves to God. This morning, if you need to respond, would you do so as we stand, as we sing.